And so thankful for that truth this morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of John, John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11 is where we'll be this morning. Jesus is at the tomb, at the grave of Lazarus. That's where we find our text this morning, John chapter 11. If you're physically able, I'll ask you to stand this morning for the reading of God's Word. We'll begin down at verse number 38. We'll allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and to toddler church this morning. John chapter number 11. Bible says in verse 38, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. That's what I want to preach on this morning. I want to bring you a message entitled, Thankful for a Father Who Hears. Thankful for a Father Who Hears. Jesus Christ lifted His voice, the Bible says, lifted His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. Father, we ask that You'd help today. We pray that You would teach us. Father, I pray once again we would be reminded of this subject matter of thankfulness. We would be reminded of this subject matter of being grateful for that which You have done for us. And one of the greatest things that You do for us on a daily basis is that You hear us. Father, we pray You incline Your ear toward us, You hear us, and You meet needs. And Father, I pray that You'd encourage and challenge us with that this morning. Father, we'll thank You and we'll praise You for what You'll do in these next few moments. We commit them to You. We ask that You teach and bless. And Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are there ever times when you feel as if no one is actually listening to you? You ever feel that way? My poor wife, in a house where it's just her and three boys now, with Paige being at college, many, many times she feels like she's the odd person out and she never gets listened to. And by the way, that does happen a lot. She'll start a statement and then one of the boys will come in and say something, and not trying to be disrespectful or interrupt, but not even knowing that she's trying to ask a question or say something, and boy, they'll butt right in and start to say something, and we'll just have our own conversation for the next 5 or 10 minutes. And then about 30 minutes later, I kind of look over and she's real quiet, and I'm like, uh-oh, what did I do? And I know what it is. You didn't listen to me. I was talking. Y'all didn't finish listening to me. You boys just have your own conversation. You don't listen to me. And many times, whatever the setting may be, whether it's at work or whether it's at home, or by the way, even at church sometimes, we may feel like, hey, by the way, you ever feel like politicians don't listen to you? They don't ever listen to you, do they? We may feel as if people do not listen to us. But that's never the case with our Heavenly Father. Now, I understand that there are sins, and I understand that there are actions that we can do that may hinder God hearing us. The Bible says if we cover our sins, He will not hear us. I understand that there are sins and there are hindrances to God hearing us and listening to us. But here's the truth. Excuse me. Even in those times, we are only a prayer of confession away from having His ear. He always hears. He always listens. And by the way, we know this based upon what we find. And we've preached from this before. We mention it so often. But we know this to be true because of Psalm 65, verse number 2. In Psalm 65, verse number 2, we have one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the names of God. Anybody want to tell me what that is, Psalm 65, verse 2? He is who? O thou that hearest prayer. In Psalm 65:2, the Bible refers to God as, O thou that hearest prayer. He is the prayer-hearing God. And look, His name proves to us that it is His nature to hear and answer our needs. And in our text this morning, and we're going to go back and get some of the context, but in our text this morning, we have the supreme example of the logical response for anyone to have when the Father hears. And that's thanksgiving. He says, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. And so this morning, if you have a bulletin, you have the outline on the back. This morning, I pray that we will allow this passage to proclaim to us why the Son, why the Lord Jesus Christ was thankful that the Father heard. And then I pray that we will see why we should be thankful when the Father's here. Excuse me, when the Father hears. So let me give you these this morning. Here in John chapter 11, I want to give you three reasons why we should be thankful when the Father hears. Number one, this one. And by the way, we're just assuming. We're not going back and trying to prove the fact that God hears. Because we know He does. Okay? We know that He hears. We know that He answers. We know that He inclines. He bends His ear toward us. We know that this morning. The book of Psalms tells us that over and over. The Bible tells us that over and over again. So we're not going back and trying to prove that this morning. I simply want to show us three reasons why we can be thankful when the Father hears. Number one, when the Father hears, we have the opportunity to prove our trust. We have the opportunity to prove our trust. The Bible says here, we read verse number 41, but look at verse number 42, if you would. And I knew that Thou hearest me always. He said, Father, I know that You hear me always, but I said it publicly. I thank You publicly. Look what He says in verse 42. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. One of the reasons we ought to be thankful when God hears, and by the way, He does, is because when He hears, it gives us opportunity to prove our trust. It gives us opportunity to tell others, and we'll get to that in just a moment, but it gives us opportunity to prove where our trust lies. When He hears, when He answers, we get the opportunity to tell others, and that's what Christ is saying. He said, Father, I'm thanking You because, look, I'm not doing it because I don't think You hear me. He says, verse 42, I know You always hear me, but I'm thanking You so that the other people around will hear and know where not only where my trust lies, but who sent me. They're going to know that You sent me. Look, if you would, back at verse number 4 real quickly here in John chapter number 11. Now, we're not going to read all of the chapter this morning, but we know the context. Lazarus is sick, and Mary and Martha, his sister, send for the Lord Jesus Christ for Him to come. Notice verse number 4. Actually, let's read verse 3 as well. The Bible says, therefore his sisters sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. And we know later that Jesus Christ loved him tremendously, don't we? By the way, how do we know that? Because the Bible says in verse 35, Jesus wept. And so we know now, I believe there's more to that than just the fact that He loved Lazarus, although that's part of it. He wept because He loved Lazarus. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, send for Him and they say, Lord, the one You love, he's sick. Now notice verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know, many times, even as Christians, we can get this idea that, and by the way, somebody sent me this week, and boy, it encouraged my heart. They sent me a message this week and had this little statement in it. And I don't know if, and I believe he was, and it goes perfect with last week's message and goes perfect with today's message as well. But the individual sent me this text and it said, Christian doctrine says that we exist for God's glory. And that's true, right? We exist for God's glory, right? Christian practice, the way we act and the way we live, says that God exists for our comfort. Christian doctrine says that we exist for God's glory, and that's true. But our practice and the way we live, and by the way, the way we pray sometimes, we act as if God exists for our comfort. Look, when we go through things, it may very well be we're going through it for His glory. It isn't that we're there begging, God, God, take this away, take this away. Give me some comfort, give me some comfort. You're there for my comfort. No, no, no. We're here for His glory. And so we may be going, that's what He says in verse number 4. Look, this isn't unto death, but so that God will be, or excuse me, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Look at verse number 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not, speaking to Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Martha said, look, Christ, don't roll the stone away. He's been dead 4 days. Boy, he stinks now. And Jesus said, Martha, didn't you hear what I said? I said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Isn't that what I said, Martha? Verse number 44. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. When the Father hears, we have first of all the opportunity to prove our trust in His power and our trust in His purpose. Our trust in His power, verses 42 through 44. And our trust in His purpose. Look at John chapter number 5 with me, if you would, real quickly. Back just a few pages. John chapter number 5. Our trust in His purpose. Let me ask you, why did Jesus Christ come to this earth? We can give many answers. Well, He came to die. He came to save us from our sins. But if we get down to the meat of why He came, why did He come? He came to fulfill the will of the Father. That's why He came. That was His purpose. He came to fulfill the will of the Father, even when it meant He was going to die and go to the cross of Calvary. Now, I say this with fear and trembling because this is easy to say. It's hard to go through sometimes. But listen, what is God's purpose for your life? Maybe God's purpose for your life is trial. Are you okay with that? Maybe God's purpose for your life is to go through some things that other Christians don't go through. Are you okay with that? You see, when the Father hears, we have an opportunity to prove our trust in His power and in His purpose. John chapter 5 and verse number 30, Christ says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Notice this. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Number one this morning, when the Father hears, we have the opportunity to prove our trust. Our trust in His power and our trust in His purpose. That's why we ought to be thankful. Because it gives us an opportunity to prove our trust. Number two, not only do we have the opportunity to prove our trust, but secondly, we have the opportunity to publish our thanksgiving. We have the opportunity to publish our thanksgiving. We've already seen it in verses 41 and 42. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go back with me in the Old Testament, if you would. Hold your place in John chapter number 11, and we'll come back. But go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, and Psalm 26, if you'll go there real quickly. Actually, let's start in Psalm 22 first. Psalm 22. Not only do we have the opportunity to prove our trust, but we have the opportunity to publish our thanksgiving. And look, when the Father hears, we have the opportunity to publish. What does it mean to publish? It means to broadcast. It means to announce. It means to proclaim. We have the opportunity to publish our thanksgiving. Let me just give you a challenge right here. Don't be shy about being thankful for what God has done for you. And I'm going to show us this morning how it is absolutely right for us to be public with our thanksgiving. It is absolutely right. It is absolutely good. We shouldn't be shy about it. And I understand sometimes we're like, well, I don't want people to think I'm bragging. Now, look, I've been in services where people gave a testimony and it turned into nothing but a bragging session. I get that. I understand that. That's not right. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with just with a genuine heart saying, this is what God has done for me. Jesus, we have the supreme example in John chapter 11. Jesus Christ Himself said, Father, I thank Thee. And He did it publicly. And He said so in verse 42. I did it publicly because I wanted everybody around to hear. Because I wanted them to know who sent me. I wanted them to know through whose power all of this is being done. I wanted them to know that my message is true. And so number two, when our Father hears, we have an opportunity to publish our thanksgiving. Psalm 22. Look at verse number 19. Psalm 22 is a prophecy, if we read the whole psalm, but it's a prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You look back up in verse number 14. He says, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Verse number 17, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. Now, this was a psalm of David. But many years prior, he is prophesying of the crucifixion of Christ. And verse number 17 is talking about how badly his body was ripped apart and his bones were you could see his bones. And the Bible says that I may tell all my bones. I can see all my bones. I can count my ribs. They look and stare upon me. But look what he says in verse 19. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name. Here's the Son speaking about the Father. He says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee? That's what this is right here. It's a congregation of believers. It's a congregation of God's people. And Jesus Christ Himself, He said, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him. Look at chapter 26, if you would, Psalm 26. We have the opportunity to publish our thanksgiving. And again, not being a braggart, not saying, well, you know, look at everything that God... And sometimes, anyway, just being public. And I get it that there can be people who sound high and mighty when they give a praise. I understand that. But that shouldn't deter you from giving a praise. That shouldn't deter you from publicly lifting your voice and say, hey, this is what God has done for me. Psalm 26, another psalm of David, verse number 7. He says that I may what? Publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. When the Father hears, it gives us the opportunity to prove our trust, but it gives us the opportunity to publish our thanksgiving to two different people. First of all, if you're taking notes, in the congregation of the saints, or in a crowd of sinners, it doesn't matter. In the congregation of the saints or in a crowd of sinners, it doesn't matter. We ought to publish our thanksgiving. Take your Bibles and go a little bit further in the Psalms to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. In the congregation of the saints, in a crowd of sinners. In the congregation of the saints, in a crowd of sinners. It doesn't matter. We ought to publish our thanksgiving. By the way, Jesus Christ, when He said, Father, I thank Thee, He was in the congregation of the saints and He was in a crowd of sinners all at the same time. He was publishing His thanksgiving. Look at Psalm 107. We've been in this psalm before, a wonderful psalm. Look at verses 31 and 32. By the way, it's not just in verses 31 and 32. It's in verse number 8. Verse number 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. But look at verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. Let them, verse 32 says, exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Well, Pastor, I just think my praise ought to be private. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it ought to be in the congregation. It ought to be in the assembly. It ought to be with people around. We have the opportunity to publish our thanksgiving in the congregation of the saints. Look at Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright. That's the congregation of the saints. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Psalm 149. Let me give you one more. Psalm 149, verse 1. Psalm 149, verse 1. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. We have the opportunity to publish our thanksgiving in the congregation of the saints. Secondly, in a crowd of sinners. Take your Bibles and go further back again to 2 Samuel. Would you do that quickly? 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22. We have David's song of deliverance in 2 Samuel 22. And right toward the end of the chapter, really the next to the last verse. Look at verse 50. Therefore I will give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the who? Among the heathen. Therefore I will give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto Thy name. He is the tower of salvation for His king, and showeth mercy to His anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. And because of that, I'm going to publish His thanksgiving, even to the heathen. One more, and we'll go back to John chapter 4. Would you go to 1 Chronicles with me? 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16. First Chronicles 16, verse number 23. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the who? The heathen. His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Number one, when the Father hears, we have the opportunity to prove our trust in His power, our trust in His purpose. We have the opportunity, secondly, to publish our thanksgiving in the congregation of the saints or in a crowd of sinners. It doesn't matter. We ought to publish our thanksgiving. You're at work and God does something good for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank You for that. God, thank You for that. You know what that'll do? That if you say that out loud, you know what it'll do? It'll give you opportunity for what we're going to look at in number 3. Because when you say something out loud like that, they're going to say, "What? Whoa, what? Praise the Lord." Thirdly, when the Father hears, we have the opportunity to present the truth. We have the opportunity to present the truth. Go back to John 11 with me if you would. We have the opportunity to prove our trust. We have the opportunity to publish our thanksgiving. The Scriptures are beyond clear that we should be public with our praises and with our giving of thanks. We can, and I just gave you a few. We could go through the Psalms. We could go through the Old Testament. We could go through the songs of Moses and the songs of David and the songs of Asaph. And over again, it talks about public praise and thanksgiving. Public praise and thanksgiving. We ought to be grateful for that. By the way, when someone does something good for you, don't you normally send them a thank you card? All right, when God does something good for you, can't really send Him a thank you card, can you? Not literally, can you? You can kneel and pray and thank Him, and you should at that very moment, but You know one of the ways you send them a thank you card? Is you let everybody else know. This is what God did for me. You let everybody else know. I'm thankful. A place where Paige goes to college every morning in chapel, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday when they have chapel every morning, just about it. I think it's every, isn't it every morning or just about? They'll take a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes, and they'll let the students come to the front, right down the front. They have a microphone set up right in the front, and they'll let them come down and give praises. I think that's good. Now, I understand. I watch it sometimes, and some of the pastoral guys that are there to become pastors, they can get a little wordy at times. They can go a little long sometimes and act like they're preaching sometimes. I get that, but that shouldn't deter us from praising God. That shouldn't deter us from just simply saying, just want to thank God because He did this. It doesn't have to be long. I want to thank God because He answered this specific prayer and tell the prayer and be done. Pastor, I'm shy! I'm thankful Jesus Christ wasn't shy. When He went to the cross of Calvary and died on the cross and shed His blood, I'm thankful that He did it. By the way, here is the Holy God. Here is God, perfect God, never done anything wrong, who was put on that cross of Calvary in shame before everyone. And He did it for us. He took all that shame. He took all that sin on His body. And He did it for me. And He did it for you. Because He wanted to shed that blood. He wanted to die for us. He wanted us to have the opportunity to have forgiveness of sins. Number three, we have the opportunity to present the truth. The truth of what? Three things quickly. The truth of Christ's ministry. The truth of Christ's miracles. And the truth of Christ's message. Now, Jesus Christ was doing this all about Himself, by Himself. But you see, when the Father hears us, we have the opportunity to present the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back, if you would, at verse number 23. The truth of Christ's ministry. Verse 42, He says, look, I knew that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. God, the Father, these Jews, many of these Jews, they don't believe who I am. They don't believe that I'm the Messiah. They don't believe, but I've said this publicly so that they'll know that my ministry is from You. Not only His ministry, His miracles, and the truth of Christ's message. What was the message of Jesus Christ? The message of Jesus Christ was believe. It was believe. Look what He says in verse number 23. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Martha, believest thou this? Now, boy, Christ's message here in verses 25 and 26 is amazing because it's truthful. By the way, it would have been true whether He raised Lazarus or not. Whether He actually raised Lazarus from the dead, verses 25 and 26 are true. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's true for anybody that's ever been put in the grave who believes in Jesus Christ. They're dead, but they're going to live again one day. Their body goes in that grave. It's just a shell and it goes in that casket. But one day that body's going to come back. That's true. But He was talking differently, not differently, but an extra understanding with Lazarus because He's getting ready to raise him from the dead right now. In verse 26, He says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Hey, let me ask us this morning, believest thou this? Do you believe that? Do you believe that He's the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that if you place your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, His death on the cross, His blood that He shed for the forgiveness of mankind, do you believe that you'll never die? Oh, we'll die physically. But as soon as we take our last breath here, we're going to be in the presence of the Father. As soon as we take our last breath here, we're going to be in the presence of our Savior. And by the way, as soon as that trump sounds, our bodies are going to be raised incorruptible. And He says to Martha, "Believest thou this?" She saith unto Him, verse 27, "Yea, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto Him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, "Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid Him?" They said unto Him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how He loved Him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave. By the way, I believe part of that weeping and groaning was because of what they said in verse 37. There was still unbelief. "Yes, of course I can. I'm fixing to do it. I'm going to do it." But there was still unbelief, and I believe that also grieved Him as well. Verse 39, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" You see, when the Father hears, it gives us an opportunity to prove our trust. It gives us an opportunity to publish our thanksgiving. But it also gives us an opportunity to present truth. And one of the greatest truths is the message of Jesus Christ, which is simply believe. Believe. And Jesus Christ is getting to present that truth Himself about Himself right there at the tomb of Lazarus. And when the Father hears us and we publish it, and we tell people and we proclaim it, we get the opportunity to let people know that there is someone greater than ourselves that we believe in. Not only for our salvation, which is absolutely most important, but just for daily provision. Just for our daily lives. That there's someone we live for, there's someone we pray to, there's someone we trust in, there's someone who answers our prayers. There's someone who listens and comes and gives comfort. There's someone who listens and comes and provides. There's someone who listens and comes and shows the way. That's what we ought to be thankful for this morning. We ought to be thankful this morning that we have a Father who hears. Now, fathers, you ought to listen to your children. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we get busy and the kids come and they try to ask a question, and sometimes we might even get frustrated because we're so busy. You know, "Don't bother me, I'm busy," you know. That's not the Heavenly Father. That's not the Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, He lifted His eyes and said, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me." Are you thankful for that this morning? Are you thankful that you have a God, that you have a Father in heaven who hears? And the Bible even says, we talk about it so much in Psalms, and I love the word. The Bible says He inclines His ear. He inclines Himself toward us. And that word means He bends His ear toward us. He inclines His ear toward us. He wants to listen. He wants to hear because it's His nature to hear and to answer. Are you thankful this morning? Then work on your list. Are you thankful this? Hey, what? How many times has the Father heard you this year? How many proofs? How many times have you had opportunity to prove your trust? How many times have you had opportunity to publish Thanksgiving? But let me ask you this. How many times have you had opportunity? How many times have you taken the opportunity? So you have lots of opportunities. How many times have you taken the opportunity to thank Him? How many times have you used that opportunity to present the truth? The truth of His ministry, of Christ's miracles, of Christ's message. What's the message? Believe. Believe for salvation. Believe for daily living. Believe for salvation. Believe for daily living. You know what, people? People need to see that there's still some people in this world who love God and live for Him every day. Because I'm going to tell you, it's rare. There are a lot of people who say they love Him. But you follow them around, they don't live for Him. This world needs to see some genuine people who love Him, say that they love Him, praise Him for what He does, and then genuinely live for Him on a daily basis so that they can present the truth. When the Father hears, we have the opportunity to prove our trust. We have the opportunity to publish our thanksgiving. We have the opportunity to present the truth. This time of year, but not just this time of year, God help us to be thankful for the Father who hears. Father, we do thank You this morning that You hear. Father, whether it's a sinner who comes in simple repentance for salvation, You hear. Father, whether it's a believer who bends the knee and says, Father, You know this need that I have. I need You to hear. Father, a believer that comes and their heart's broken, a believer that comes and, boy, it seems like the circumstances of this world are just weighing them down. Father, we're so thankful that You hear. And Father, we have the supreme example of what we ought to do because of the fact that You hear. We ought to publish our thanksgiving. So Father, I pray that You'd help us with that this morning. Father, I do pray if there's one here today without Christ, they do not have that confidence that they're on their way to heaven. Father, if there be someone like that today, I pray that they would come. Allow us to take the Word of God and show them what it means to be saved, what it means to have eternal life. Then, Father, I pray for believers this morning that need to just bow the knee this morning and say, Father, thank You for hearing me. Father, I pray that You'd help us to move. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask two questions, and then we'll go right to our invitation. Would there be anybody here this morning? You say, Pastor, I am not sure. I don't have the confidence of 1 John 5:13. That I'm on my way to heaven. Pastor, I don't know if death were to take me today, if heaven would be my home. But Pastor, I sure like for you to pray for me this morning. And I'm giving my hand and I'm raising my hand as a testimony. I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to know. And I'd like for somebody to pray for me. Would there be anybody at all, man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, with a raised hand? You'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved this morning. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven today. Anybody at all with a raised hand? All right, second question. Believers, how many of you say, Pastor, I am thankful that the Father hears. But Pastor, I've been challenged this morning about being more public. I've been challenged this morning simply just to be more thankful that the Father does hear me. How many believers you say, Pastor, that's me this morning. I just want to raise my hand as a testimony and say, I want to be more thankful that the Father hears. Anybody at all with a raised hand, raise it real high. All right, thank you for those hands. You can put them down. Anybody else with a raised hand? Pastor, I just want to be more thankful that I know that the Father hears. All right, let's stand to our feet this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Miss Jo is going to begin to play. If you need to come this morning, whether you're a believer, you just need to come and bow the knee and say, I need to be more thankful that the Father hears. Or maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ. No one raised hands, but in your heart, you're not sure and you don't have the confidence that you're on your way to heaven. Would you come? Not so that we can embarrass you, but simply so we can help you. simply so we can take the Bible a little bit further and show you more verses and more verses and more verses, show you more Scripture about what the Bible says about having eternal life. I thank Thee, Father. Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. Is that you this morning, believer? Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. Amen. Let's do this this morning. Let's take our hymnals and turn to 117 this morning.